know, Lord, that we are right where we're supposed to be, Lord. This is where we need you. Lord, we come lifting your name up. Glorious, great. Thank you. Yes, be with us. Be with those who couldn't be here today for whatever reason. Be in back. Be with the message.
Jimmy's been on the best consideration, talked to all the men in the church. I talked to Jimmy during vacation Bible school.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4:4. Stand and sing with us.
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. We are in God's house this morning. We give God all the glory. God is good.
All the time.
We give God the glory. You may be seated. It's exciting to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We are here, and we're here to praise His wonderful, powerful name. We're here to praise the name of the Lord, and we're praying for revival. Amen? We're praying for revival. We're praying that God will just sweep Fort Valley. Amen? And that we will see thousands of people come to know Jesus. Is that okay? You don't sound too excited. Anybody need Cuban coffee this morning? Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, we are excited to be in the house of the Lord. And if you are a guest today, or if you have a prayer request, I would like for you to just take the little care card here and just fill it in and just put it in the offering. We had a wonderful, wonderful week. It's been a blessed week. We say goodbye to one of our saints who is now watching us live, not on Facebook, but from heaven. Amen? He's in the stands. He's part of the witness who's watching us. Now it's our turn to run. Now the baton has been given to us. They serve faithfully. Now it's our turn to do it. So we are on the track. We're not in the stands. We're on the track. And we're going to give it all we got. We're going to serve Jesus until he calls us home. Amen? Is that good? We had a wonderful week. There were so many people here. If you were, and I'm thankful that if you were here, you made yourself present if you could for the visitation. Fellowship was full. The house of the Lord was packed for the funeral. But there was something else happened this week. God opened a door for us to go to Fort Valley State University. And we went over there. God, it's just a God thing, you know, God thing. And listen, when God opens the door, don't pray about it, walk. When God opens the door, there's no time to go to the closet and pray. He already opened the door, just go through it. And so I don't want to start preaching before the, you know, I'm still in the welcome, you know. But anyway, but we had a great time. And we have some pictures that we took. We were there for 2 days, gave out water. And I just want to say thank you to all of those who participated, who gave, who went, who came by and pray and serve. It was an amazing time. The president of the university came by specifically to us and said, thank you. Can you imagine that? And staff and the police and players, and it was great. I want to do it again. Amen? So I want to ask Miss Carla and also Miss Mitzi, they're going to share just a little bit. We got some pictures as well. Miss Carla, will you just please talk to us a little bit?
Bulletins, you have a handout, and some of the pictures that you'll see are on the handout, but it also gives you a synopsis of our visit. I'm going to let Miss Mitzi tell you about Tuesday and Wednesday, because I was there Tuesday. I had to work on Wednesday, but Miss Mitzi was there, and Mr. John were there on Tuesday and Wednesday. Bob and I went back on Thursday, met with the president for about 15 minutes, met with the vice president for about another 20 minutes, and the only reason she let us go was she had a Zoom call, and she's like, I'm so sorry, I need to talk to you some more. They are so thankful. They ask me to say to you as a church family, thank you for being available. Thank you for coming and loving on our students. Thank you for offering to be their church family away from home. We had moms come by the table with tears in their eyes saying, thank you so much that you are willing to love on my child that I'm dropping off here in a city that I don't know. And you are willing to be their church family. So we have made a huge impact. And Tuesday and Thursday this week, I will be going back again. We've been invited to go back and talk to the director of the education department, the one for the education students. So we'll be taking book bags back again on Tuesday and Thursday to the education, and we're working on a time for the psychology department. The Lord is opening doors that I can't walk through fast enough. And so I hope that you will catch the bug and you will want to come alongside us. Ms. Mitzi and Mr. John are going to show you the pictures and tell you a little bit of what they experienced.
Well, I just want to reiterate what our pastor said. When something happens, what do, Pastor?
We walk through it.
Just real quick, I'd like to share a couple of scriptures that came to mind from this in Colossians. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, and let's go to 17. Do everything, whether speaking or acting, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then let's hop down to verse 23. Work hard with all your heart for Christ. Y'all, that's what we did this past Tuesday and Wednesday. We went to Fort Valley State, so much preparation from Vic, Pastor, his family, Jessica, unreal, Carla, of course, here we are. They set up the tent, and we got to talk to the to the kids, to the students. They were freshmen and new coming sophomores mainly. And I guess Fernando was there too. What got me was this generation of students are seeking and they want religion. I don't know how else to say that. They might not know the foundation of Christ or anything, but they're open. They're open to hearing. We got to pray with them, and as Carla said, the parents would stand back and just watch their children listening to us and taking it all in. They're scared, but they're excited. This is their new door. They're going through it. And we're here at First Baptist Church, Fort Valley, to be here for these children, to be here for these students, to be here for the faculty, to be here for the security guards, the people. I had the neatest opportunity. You know, women, we have to go to the bathroom all the time. And I went into the little clubhouse, and they were duking it out, I mean, playing ping pong. And with me on the walker, it was kind of a helpful thing because they came over there, and can I help you? And I said, yeah, let me play some with y'all. And y'all, they were very, very, very open to religion is what they would call it. Yes, yes, I want to know about religion. And Carla and her contacts through the Lord, 700 backpacks. Y'all, I don't know how rewarding it was when I went back on Wednesday and we would see those backpacks already on students' backs. And that was from the Lord through Carla, through First Baptist Church, Fort Valley, through Bob, through everybody. And y'all, God loves us.
Amen.
My favorite verse is found in Philippians 2:13. It says, you know that God gives us desire to obey him, but guess what else he gives us? He gives us the power to please him. Y'all, First Baptist Church of Fort Valley pleases God through this last week. Amen. Thank you, Carla. Thank you, everybody.
And with that, let's stand and sing, Build Your Kingdom Here.
Joy and pride to see the captives' hearts.
Of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. We thank God for the blessings we received and the ones we have yet to receive.
Call for songs of
This time, though, we come to return a portion of those gifts that you have so richly blessed us with, Lord. We ask that you take these to your good and your will in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
So good to be in the house of the Lord. The Lord is good all the time. God is good. I want to say thank you to my wife. Today we celebrate 29 years thank you very much. We're heading straight to McDonald's after this. Believe it or not, the first place when we started dating, I took her to, the only place open was Taco Bell. So, making improvement now. So it is so good, and I want to say thank you for praying for Bert, and I think it's important that we continue praying for him, lifting him up as well, and just thank you for your generosity, and reach out to him and pray with him, please, if you can, if you have the time. We are going to do a two-part series on a time to revitalize, and we're going to be in 2 Chronicles 29, and so I'm going to, once you find it, I'm going to ask you to stand in reverence to God's holy word, and we are going to read 1 through 8. So I'm going to ask you to stand in reverence to God's holy word. King Hezekiah became the king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. The first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square. And he said to them, "Hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him, have turned their faces away from him, the dwelling place of the Lord, and turned their backs on him. They have also shut up the doors of the vestibule, put out the lamps, and have burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore, cause and effect, therefore, the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has given them to trouble, to desolation, and to shearing, as you see with your eyes." Father, we thank you so much for today. We give you all honor and glory. Father, as we revitalize your church, your house, Father, will you speak to us individually and corporately? Father, we just want to give you all honor and all glory in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. King Hezekiah was the 13th king of Judah. He was the one that God gave him after he became ill to the point of death, 15 more years to live. Chapters 29 to 31 in this particular book of 2 Chronicles, it refers to an extended account of revival that took place in biblical history. So when we look at these chapters, and I encourage you, when you have some time, to read 29 to 31, because revival is taking place. It's a revival that we're praying for. And we're praying for revival. You know, and so we need to keep our eyes focused on this revival that God has for us. You know, everything starts slow. Every time when you start something, it starts slow. When God is going to do something, it starts slow. It's a process to revitalize. It takes time. The conditions were appropriate. The people had rebelled. The people had turned their backs on God. It was just religion. It wasn't relationship. It wasn't talking to the Lord and communicating with him and praising him. No, it wasn't none of that. Matter of fact, the temple was ruined. The people's morals were down. Their spiritual life was in drought. They needed revival. We need revival as well. Sometimes we go from Sunday to Sunday, and we don't open the Word of God until Sunday, if that. Our lives, even though we are believers, we say we are, but yet we do not reflect what Jesus said to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. That's what we are. It's not that we will be the light of the world. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Present tense, wherever we may find ourselves. I think God is speaking to us. A lot of people have departed from our beloved church. Maybe God is trying to say something to us from heaven. It's our time to be revitalized. If God has us here, it's because he's going to do something with us and through us. I believe that he will. I believe that the best days are ahead of us. I believe that we're going to see the house of God full of folks, especially lost folks. Amen? Listen, I don't have to worry about if Jesus called me home today. My name is in the book of life. But there are people here in this community who have no hope. They don't even understand the left from the right. They need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. Amen? Anybody with me? Want to make sure everybody's with me this morning. Praise the Lord. I got some folks in the back. Praise the Lord. I'm excited that you're here today. So what is our vision? What is our vision? Our vision is we're to be a family of faith that glorifies God. Family is critical. Family is important. We are a family. We are a church family. We are family. We come from different backgrounds. We come different counties, different languages, but we're a family of God because lesson of what Christ has done in our heart. And we are here to glorify God. That's what we're here to do. So I don't know what you remember. Where were you when you were 25 years old? I remember I was finishing up college. I started college late. Because I wasn't saved, and God saved my soul, and he brought me to school, and I stayed with it, and I think I was 24, 25 when I finally graduated from college. Hezekiah was 25. That's when he began to rule Judah. And he stayed there for 29 years. He was there for a specific purpose. God called him for a specific purpose. The task was to restore his house, to revitalize physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He knew that that's what he had to do, that was he was calling, God was calling him to do. It was his time, like it is our time. Of course, in order for us to understand, we need to understand the meaning of revitalize. In today's church world, it's the word, revitalize. As we know, there is hundreds and hundreds, every year hundreds of churches are closing. Some are on life support. And so this term, it's becoming very, very popular in the church world. Cambridge.org defines revitalization as the process of making something grow, develop, or becoming successful again. Merriam-Webster describes it or defines it. It says to make someone or something active, healthy, energetic again. So now that we have our definition and we know what God wants us to do with our church, he wants us to revitalize. He wants us to be on fire again, to put it in simple words. The church got to be back on fire again because that's the DNA. The DNA of a church is to be on fire. is to be excited about Jesus. It's about to be excited that Jesus is coming back. Amen? It's to be excited that we're going to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. Not with this old body, but with the new body that he has given us. We'll be like the angels of God. Can you imagine that? I don't have to worry about my weight anymore. Amen? I don't have to worry about going to Golden Corral and not going all at it, including the ice cream machine. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. So what do we need to do to revitalize? The first thing we need to do is in verse 3. He said, in the first year of the reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. The first thing that we need to do, we need to keep our eyes on the task until complete. We need to keep our eyes on the task until complete. He was there to restore the doors of the temple. He was there not only to restore the doors of the temple, but to restore the worship in the house of God. Sometimes we forget that we are coming to the house of God to worship God. It's not about gossip. It's not about to talk about what's happening in the latest news. We're here to worship the Lord. We're here to worship the King. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It didn't matter what happened Monday through Saturday. When we walk in the house of God, we're coming to praise the Lord. That's what we're coming to do. Philippians 1:6 reminds us, he said, be confident in this, that he who began a good work, he will carry it out to completion to the day, till the day of Christ. We can't lose sight of what we're here to do. He knew what he had to do, and he kept his eyes there. And we have to keep our eyes until this is complete. We need to understand not only to keep our eyes on the task, but we also need to understand that if we can breathe, God wants to use us. If you can breathe, God wants to use us. Verse 11 says, my sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that you should minister to him and burn incense. If you can breathe, God can use you. It doesn't matter your age, God can use you. Oh, there were so many different ages when we went to Fort Valley State. There were so many ages there that were serving the Lord. If you look through Scripture, Samuel, God used Samuel when he was a young child. He called him. He called David a young shepherd. Jeremiah describes himself as a youth. But then he also called Daniel around 17 years old. He called Abraham at 75. And Moses at 80. And Noah at 600. Can you imagine that? He called him. He called Joseph and Jesus and Paul in the 30s. If you can breathe, if you can do this, you're a candidate to serve the Lord. God wants us to serve him. He's calling us. He said, come, I want to use you. I know what you have. I know your physical impediments. I understand. But I'm calling you. And we need to go. When God calls, we need to go. When God is calling us, we need to go. But not only does he want, he's calling us to serve, but he also calling us to keep our eyes on the Lord. Verse 10, now it is my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. Is it possible that God brings wrath to his people? Of course it is. This is what we're talking about. There's the wrath of God. There is consequences. Listen, when we do not share the gospel, there are consequences. When we quit making disciples and visiting and calling people and encouraging people, we have consequences. And if we are not moving forward, the devil is coming inward. If we are not pushing forward, the devil is coming inward. And so we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Colossians 3:1, in the New Century Version, it says, since you were raised from the dead with Christ. Oh, that'll preach right there. Let me read it again. Since you were raised from the dead, you and I were dead before Christ, we are alive now. Anybody home? I like this version. That's why I put it here. Since you were raised from the dead, you were dead. You and I were dead, but now we're alive. It says, aim at what is in heaven, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Our aim has to be heaven. That's what we need to aim. We cannot aim on the earthly things. We cannot be aiming at the stock market and see what's going to happen. We can't be aiming at the lottery. See, all of that is going to stay here. Oh, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities. You won't take a single dollar, a single penny when God calls you home. Anybody with me this morning? And yet, those are the things we worry about. Paul told the Colossian church, keep your eye on the things above, because you've been raised from the dead. You're alive. You're not dead. You're alive. But also, the calling was to renew the mind. It was to renew the mind. Do you know where spiritual warfare takes place? In the mind. In the mind. He needed to renew the mind. First of all, his mind. And he needed to renew the mind of the Levites and the priests and the people in the city to think different. Listen, we got to think different. But in order for us to think different, we got to have this word of God put in our brain. We need to feed spiritual food in our brain so that we can be renewed. Because our names are written in the book of life. We are alive with Christ. And we need spiritual food. We need to spend more time in the Word of God and put the Word in our hearts, so that we may not sin against our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to renew our mind. Paul in Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I need to look in the mirror and say, if I know God, I am a child of God. God is with me. The spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. What's your problem, Dennis? Anybody home? I wonder what would happen if you and I woke up like that every morning. If you look in the mirror. Maybe slap yourself a couple of times before you leave your house. That Some may think that your wife beat you up that day. Say, no, 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 measure the hand. It's my hand. I wonder what would happen every day. But I'm a child of God. God can bring me home today. It only takes them not to take a bus, a stop sign, and crash my car, and off I go, and everything is over. Don't you see it? Every minute, every second we have comes from the Lord. Are you being guided by the Spirit today? Or by the troubles of life? He's the King of Kings. I can see all the saints in the stands looking at us right now. Even Miss Angeline is there now. And they're looking at us, running the race. I wonder if they say, oh, I wish they would trust Jesus. Oh, I wish they would trust Jesus. Oh, I wish I could tell them how good it is over here. I wish I could tell them how powerful God is. Ooh. No more excuses. No more lying to the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Thank God, Sapphira and the other guy who dropped dead right there. Thank God the Spirit doesn't work like that right now. I'm telling you what, he'll wipe the house right now. Are you coming to church? Well, and the Spirit will say, you're lying to me. Dead, right there. See, you can lie to me, you can lie to the leadership, but you can't lie to God. And the wrath of God came over these people right here because they're lying to him. Don't you know God knows everything? He knows if you had a Miller Lite last night and you're in the house of God today. Amen? You're good? Everybody's good? I think this series is going to be good. I just think. Do you hear the wrath of God came upon them? The wrath. Now, this is God's people. Now, these are not lost people. These are God's people. This is Judah. This is Israel. This is the people of God. And God said, my wrath is upon you. Quit lying to me. They were lying to God. Is it possible that we lie to God? He said, don't you know? See, Ezekiel could tell you a little bit about that. He became ill to the point of death. And God gave him 15 more years after that. You know why? Because he came back and cried and pleaded with God, and God's wonderful grace all gave him a little Christmas present. 15 more. But we need to renew our mind. Listen, we are not going to be on earth forever. This is our time. This is our time to serve. Doesn't matter if you're with a walker, doesn't matter in a wheelchair. If you can breathe, you can serve God. Amen? We need to quit giving excuses. And be transparent with God. Not with me. With God. Because one day, you and I are going to stand before the King. And we have to give an account for the good and the bad. And all the excuses that we have given. Before him, not me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. We got to walk in the fear of God. He's the one who wakes us up this morning. Church didn't wake you up this morning. God did. What you did, not only did he wake you up today, he woke you up Saturday and Friday and Thursday and Wednesday and Tuesday. But you got to renew the mind. But you also have to pray for God to change your heart. God first dealt with Hezekiah. Now he's dealing with the Levites. Verse 2, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to his father David had done. See, in order to serve the Lord and to be renewed, to be revitalized, starts right here in the heart. You got to change your heart. Ezekiel 36, 26. The book of Ezekiel, he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from you your heart of stone. According, and will give you a heart of flesh. If we are going to be revived and revitalized, God has to change our heart. You know what John 3:16 says? For God so loved the world. The word in the Greek, kaetna. And when we translate it, it means people groups. For God so loved the people groups of the world. It's interesting that God called Paul to do cross-cultural ministry. He took him out of his comfort zone and took him to all these different people from all over the world. That's John 3:16. And listen to me, God had to change his heart because he thought, well, I'm just here for the Jews. And God says, well, I got news for you, son. God did not plant this church here in 1854 for one group of people. He planted this church to be a lighthouse for the peoples. But God has to change my heart. Has to change my mind. I am not here to be selective. God didn't say, now, what are you doing, will say God. God will say, what are you doing? You're being selected. What? I just want them here. I just want them here. Do you think that's the way heaven is going to be? Okay, as soon as you get in here, where are the Mexicans? So I can go over there with them. Anybody with me? By the way, I'm not Mexican, but I am. Everybody say I am. You're the Mexican pastor of the First Baptist Church? Oh, yeah, okay, I'll take it. No problema. Do you think when we get to heaven, that's the way it's going to be? Okay, my amigos, where are the people that speak Spanish here? I don't even know what we're going to speak up there. But you know, I don't care what we speak up there. As long as I'm in heaven, praise God. God wants us to be biblical. Jesus says, preach my gospel. Love on people. Make disciples. Reach the nations. The book of life has many, many pages, white pages, no name. And we are sitting in a pot of gold. People need Jesus. It's the only way to heaven. John 14:6. There's no other way. Muhammad is dead. Russell Smith is dead. But our King of Kings is alive, and alive forever. We need to be revitalized. But it starts right here in the heart. Father, we thank you so much for today. We give you all honor and all glory. For you are the Lord. Father, may the wrath, your wrath, don't come to us. May we be diligent to obey you and serve you and glorify you and exalt you. To you, O God, be the honor and glory. If there's anyone here today who would like to be part of this fellowship, this family of faith that wants to see revival break loose. Say, I want to be part of that. Or maybe you're here and you do not know God. This is about knowing God. It's about having a personal relationship with God, with the living God, the creator God. It's about a personal, intimate relationship with you. What's on your heart this morning?
Stand and sing with us.
September 24th, we will have our 39ers luncheon. So I want us to work together. And that's the second part of the sermon, but I'm just giving you a heads up. September 24th, Thursday, we will have the 39ers again. We owe it to the ladies who gave their lives for it, who planned it. We need to honor them. Miss Rogers, Miss Angeline, and some of the other ladies. So it's our time. Like baseball, time to bat. So this is our time. Also, we are going to have Grow. Brother Vic is going to be in his room. If you are a Sunday school teacher, or if you're interested in just learning what it is, we'll have two opportunities. Today, and then Wednesday at 6 o'clock as well. So please, please get involved as we continue to work in our pathway for our church. What we're doing is just getting ready for what God's going to do. So please, please join in. Brother Vic, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?